presents another way in which God demonstrates his power over those who do not know him. Those who occupy the highest offices of these foreign lands. As we see here, as we saw in the example of Cyrus at the outset of the book of Ezra, where God inclined the heart of Cyrus to see God's people returned from exile, reestablished in the land of Judah, and set to the task of rebuilding the temple. Well, here we are looking at a time period around 458 BC, to be precise, when the temple has already been rebuilt. Some almost 80 years have passed since the first exiles returned to Jerusalem, and Ezra now has been given the task of leading another group in the employ of Artaxerxes, no less, to go and to see that the law of God is established in the land. And so tonight we're looking at three things. First, how it is and what it means when God opens doors. Second, we'll see the far-reaching implications of the Word of God. It goes far beyond just its application in our personal lives, as we see here. And then we'll see the confidence that God grants to his servant Ezra in the undertaking of this monumental task of reform there in Judah. So, as I mentioned, this all is happening around 458 BC. And to help us better understand the times that Artaxerxes found himself, Artaxerxes had, in the previous couple of years, begun to have to deal with some troubles across his vast kingdom. There had begun to be some rebellions that had broken out in Egypt and in the properties of Greece. And so these things were troubling a relatively new leader as he was beginning to his time of reign in Persia. And these may have been contributing factors. These may have been things that God brought about in order that Artaxerxes' confidences may have been diminished, such that he saw the profitability of sending one skilled in the law of God back to the area of Judea across the river in the province beyond the river, that the law might be established and that rebellion wouldn't break out in Judea and Judah as it had broken out elsewhere in his kingdom. And so we see here that in this letter he appoints one, Ezra, to be the one who would go back and institute these things. Ezra was known as a priest, but he was also known as a scribe, one who was well-versed in the law of God. And there are many scholars who think that Ezra was one of those key individuals in the Old Testament who had so given himself to the study of God's Word that even despite all of those years that God's people had been captive in Babylon, they had not fully forgotten the law of God. And so here is Ezra being called upon by the king to come and to receive this letter, these issued decrees from Artaxerxes, that he might go back and institute these things in Israel. Now, not only is he to go back and to engage in the work of teaching, that is a part of the mandate given to him by Artaxerxes here, but you'll also note that he is to be accompanied by some of the counselors of Artaxerxes. As was the custom of the Persians, they would often use a privy council of some seven counselors who would go and make reports back to their king as to the state of things in that land. And so here was Ezra, not only accompanied by priests and Levites and others of the Jewish people, but he was also accompanied by those who were counselors to the king, that they might give their report, that they might investigate. I mean, this is another thing that is an unusual thing, that here is a Jewish scribe who is given such important duties by King Artaxerxes, given even the power of investigation when he would go back. It also gives us some indication within this letter that things were not all good in Judah. And later in these chapters to come, in chapters 9 and 10, we will see how God's law had not been being properly applied, how God's people had returned to their previous sins, even those who occupied the offices of priests and Levites had begun to forsake the law of God, and they had only been back since around 537. And so God opens doors. We see how he has moved in the heart of Artaxerxes. Perhaps some of it was the threat of unrest. Perhaps some of it was the desire to see order established, and knowing that it would be far easier to establish in that land the law of God than the foreign law of Persia upon those who existed within that land. If you recall from the very outset of Ezra, we had described some of those who were neighbors to God's people who had returned, and they were largely made up of others who had been snatched out of their homeland and placed in that area that they might not be of a sufficient strength to test their captors. And they brought with them many pagan practices, many false idols and false worship practices, such that their offers to help had been turned down. But here we see that the offers that have been made through Cyrus and the offers now reiterated by Artaxerxes are themselves accepted. Artaxerxes offers to Ezra all that is necessary to see the right worship of God carried out, supplying all of the bulls and lambs and other things necessary for the varying sacrifices which God would demand, seeking even for himself and for his family that prayers would be offered even for their rule. But here we see this is God at work within them. Again, we all know from our experiences with elected officials, they don't tend to most quickly go to the offering up of their treasuries. But here we see that God had so worked in the heart of Cyrus and later Artaxerxes that even the treasuries of Babylon were opened, that gold and silver was made available, that all of those trinkets, all of those vessels that were necessary for the worship of God that had been taken by Nebuchadnezzar were returned so that right worship could be instituted. Not only does he open up the treasuries of Persia, but we see that there was also an opportunity for those who remained behind to themselves offer a freewill offering. There were some that didn't go in the second volley of returned exiles. There was later a third that would go back from Babylon. There were some that remained in Babylon, established well there. And we know from certain scholars that there were well-established synagogues within the Persian society where worship was being carried out, where the law of God was being taught. But even these brothers and sisters had hearts that were inclined for those who were back in Judah and for the work of and the worship of God within his house. But we see that he also gave instruction to the treasurers beyond in the province beyond the river. Again, you remember how many times letters were written to the kings of Persia trying to thwart the efforts of God's people in rebuilding the temple. And yet here we see that in God's response to those who would challenge his will, we see that the burden of securing right sacrifices and ensuring that the operation of the temple would go forward falls upon those who reside within the land of Judah, those who were and had been the enemies of God. Not only that, but we also see how God institutes here through Artaxerxes some other things that we even today have some observance of. Even in our own country, our own IRS gives certain tax advantages or breaks to those who are engaged in ministry. And here we see that that is instituted by Artaxerxes, where he says that those beyond the river won't extract any kind of a toll or tax upon those who labor within the house of God. These things can have an incentivizing result, as they would remove a burden and make those who would answer the call of God do so much more freely and confidently as they would go about the task that he's given them. But not only are these things accomplished by Artaxerxes, we see that there are far-reaching implications for his sending Ezra back tasked with that important work of teaching the Word of God. It had become abundantly clear that there was great ignorance within the land as to what God had commanded. And there was definitely disobedience to the Word of God, but there was a need for teaching to take place. And so Ezra is often recalled and remembered as a great reformer. He was tasked by God to return to that land, to his countrymen, and there to diligently teach the Word of God to ensure that it was understood. You see here that Artaxerxes says, any that do not know the law of God, he is charged to teach them. And there would have been many within the province beyond the river, those previously transplanted to that region, who would have been largely ignorant of the things of God, in need of hearing his word proclaimed and taught, that they might know what God demands of them, that they might walk rightly before him and worship rightly before him. But not only is he to go forth as a preacher, a teacher, a prophet, a reformer, but we see that he is tasked with the important duty of ensuring that those who would occupy positions of leadership, those magistrates and judges, would also be skilled in the law of God, knowledgeable of the commands of God. We see here the far-reaching implications of God's word. If it is going to be rightly lived out, how important it is that we would see those who would occupy positions of power, positions of responsibility, know Jesus Christ and appreciate his word. It's one of the reasons why we, as good covenanters, pray for and should be praying for our leaders, and also why it is that we are not content merely voting for the lesser of two evils, but rather praying fervently and faithfully to God that he would work in the hearts of men and women who would be committed first to him and who would rule to the glory of his name and for the good of their neighbors. We see here that Artaxerxes is tasking Ezra with a great task. These would not be easily accomplished, nor would they be quickly accomplished and done well. But he is to be faithful in teaching these truths to them. How easy it might have been. I mean, if you think about such a task being given to you, how easy it would be to feel overwhelmed at the scope of this. I mean, we are given a small community around us in which Christ has called us to manifest His light, to be a faithful witness for Him. And we can feel daunted at that task within the confines of our small community. Yet here is Ezra, given the task of building a nation of those who would worship God rightly and rule rightly before Him, all to the glory of His name. And yet, what do we see here? We see Ezra as one who would describe himself as confident. Confident in this huge undertaking. He's not confident in his own abilities. He's not confident in his wisdom or his strength or even the depth of the energies which he possesses. But he is energized to undertake this enormous task because he has witnessed the amazing might of the hand of his God. First, to return his people, whom he had sent out because of their disobedience, yet he had demonstrated himself faithful, drawing his people back once again. He had seen them successfully undertake and complete the temple, despite so many threats that had been leveled against them and delays that they had endured. He had seen God work in the heart of yet another leader like Artaxerxes to lighten his load by supplying all that was necessary for right worship to be carried out, and to charge him and give him the authority that he would need in order to undertake these huge responsibilities. And his response is to bless the Lord. Look down at verse 27. Blessed be the Lord, the God of our fathers, who put such a thing as this into the heart of the king to beautify the house of the Lord that's in Jerusalem, and who extended to me his steadfast love before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty officers. For this I took courage, for the hand of the Lord my God was on me. And I gathered leading men from Israel to go up with me. We see the confidence of one who sensed the hand of God upon him. That he would not go out alone. He wouldn't go out under-provided for. He wouldn't go out under his own strength, but his God, his powerful God that had turned the heart of Artaxerxes, would accompany him and would guide him in this undertaking. You remember the response of Moses when God reached out to him and charged him with that great task of returning to Egypt and there speaking on his behalf that he might lead his people forth out of that mighty nation of Egypt. His response was, God, I'm not up to this task. I can't speak. Find somebody else. And yet God demonstrated his power through his instrument of Moses and Aaron to accomplish his purposes. And this is how God often works, even through us. We are mere instruments of clay in his hand. And yet God is pleased in the life of His church to use men, women, and even children to the glory of His name as we would testify of Him to those whom He puts across our path, whether they be our family members, our friends, our co-workers, our fellow students, our neighbors. He is with us. And so we find in this passage tonight a passage of encouragement for those whom God has called to serve Him in His name, which is all of us who call upon the name of Christ. He has tasked us with being His heralds of the good news, His messengers of the glorious work of Jesus Christ, that He might work through us, that those around us would come and know Him and might live in accord with His word and experience the hope and peace and blessings that are found only in Him. What a great and mighty God we serve, a God whose love is steadfast. Let's look to Him in prayer. Almighty God, again we thank You that through these historic accounts You are pleased to remind us of Your power. Lord, working far from that which was Your house, the temple, in the hearts of those who did not otherwise know You or call upon You, and yet, Lord, You work to incline their hearts to do Your will in such wonderful ways as we have seen witnessed here this evening in Ezra chapter 7. And Lord, as we contemplate these amazing works, Lord, we are also reminded that You continue in such faithfulness today to work in those who are Yours and through Your church to be radiant examples and witnesses in the world. Lord, we have prayed tonight for a weighty matter that we pray will yield a positive witness for Your might and Your steadfast love. Lord, work in and through that event. But Lord, we also pray as a congregation, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that You would be pleased, as You were pleased to use Ezra for Your purposes, to use us for Your purposes, not for our own glory, but Lord, that You may receive the glory, that the might of Your arm may be on display, and that we may see the transformative power of the gospel on display in the lives of those around us. Build Your church. Use us for Your purposes, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.